so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Bacheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our monthly Mimer series. I'm so excited to have Goldie Markowitz here with us all the way from Australia. We're going to be exploring a really beautiful Mimer. It's called Vayihi Be'atzem Hayom Hazeh. It's from the year Tavshin Mem Daled. And it explores the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim on a spiritual level, right? What's sort of the spiritual symbolism of Yetzias Mitzrayim? And what does Yetzias Mitzrayim mean, not just in terms of leaving or getting rid of the negativity within ourselves, but even going through a process of Yetzias Mitzrayim within Kedusha itself, within holiness itself? There can be limitations. And the goal of a Yetzias Mitzrayim within Kedusha is being able to get sort of let go, release ourselves from that limitation. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that is. And I was thinking, you know, it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why are we doing a Pesach Mimer? But I think it's sometimes we get stuck in that, you know, feeling like we need to learn something that's appropriate to the time. But for sure, the ideas discussed here are, you know, applicable anytime, anywhere. And I think they're going to be really, will really resonate no matter what time of year we're in. So I'm excited to dive in. Goldie, tell us a little bit about yourself. And, you know, you chose this Mimer. Tell us why you chose this Mimer.
Yeah, so I'm Goldie. And yes, I'm all the way from Australia. So we're recording Motzei Shabbos LA time, Sunday afternoon, Australia time. But really, like, I've been learning Hasidus kind of my whole life. But it's kind of been an interesting journey because I've gone from kind of learning because we needed to learning because I really love it and I want to. So this is a Mimer that my father and I learn every Shabbos morning before he goes to shul, so like Chassidus before davening. I'm very grateful he does it with me. And this is a Mimer that we learned together a couple of weeks ago for Parshas Bo. But why I really like it and kind of chose it for today is I'm a bit of a systems thinker. So I like that Chassidus has an order and a framework. And I think in this Mimer, the Rebbe gives us an additional kind of measure of understanding of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Often we think about it as Yetzias Mitzrayim is kind of being better. It's subjugating, you know, our le'umaseh, our kind of other side inclinations. And here the Rebbe teaches us about how even in holy things, there's kind of more room to grow and what Yetzias Mitzrayim kind of means from that perspective. So I really, really like that about this Mimer, that it kind of fits into this kind of Hasidus system and framework that I really resonate with. But also it stuck with me because I've always had a question about Me'arach Shalit al Halev. It's always kind of felt like this is an instruction. We have to, the mind almost kind of shuts down the heart and kind of tells it what to do. And in learning this Mimer, I kind of got a better understanding of that concept, how the mind really inspires the heart to kind of feel the emotions. And then kind of as we'll go through the Mimer, we see the Rebbe gives us an even higher level of experiencing kind of intellect and emotions together. So that's why this one.
Yeah, and I think also what I found really fascinating, touching on that Me'arach Shalit al Halev thing, is that this concept of Me'arach Shalit al Halev, which is discussed in Tanya, it almost is said as like a statement, like this is what the mind does, it controls the heart. And yet in our experience, it's so difficult to actually do, right? Like it doesn't actually work that way. Very often the emotions that we experience emerge spontaneously, not necessarily guided by rational thinking at all. And I think what this Mimer talks about gives a lot, sheds a lot of light into why it's so difficult to actually proactively go through that process of the mind directing the heart as opposed to just our emotions coming spontaneously. So let's dive in. So I'm just going to give like a general outline of the beginning of the Mimer, which we're not actually going to be looking at inside. This is a very short Mimer, by the way, so it's really easy to learn it. Like, we're going to be learning the bulk of it. Actually, we're just going to be sort of skipping out the questions at the beginning and the answers at the end, but the whole Mimer is like about two pages, so it's very easy. It's like a short but powerful read. So the beginning of the Mimer basically asks this basic question, which is, when does Yetzias Mitzrayim actually happen, right? We see in the Pesukim that it both talks about it happening at night right? And talk about it happening during the day, Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh, right? So on a practical level, on a historical level, it's pretty easy to answer that question, right? That the Jewish people started leaving at night and then finished during the day. It was a process, so it took time. So it started at night and finished during the day. But if we're going to look at Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just on a physical level, but on a symbolic level, right, night and day represent two totally opposite realities. So if Yetzias Mitzrayim is a journey that we all need to go through every day, how can that journey be happening both at night and at day at the same time? How could those both be true about this spiritual process of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's really the question that we want to answer in this mimer. So let's go inside.
Let's do it. Okay. So we pick up after the questions and we start. I'll just start reading and translating the Hebrew. Jump in when we should kind of discuss. So So we need to understand, as an introduction to answering the Rebbe's questions that he sets up about Yetzias Mitzrayim, how this, well, we understand the avoda, the ruchniyastika avoda in the guf and nefesh of a person. So immediately the Rebbe is bringing this as an instruction for our life. It's applicable for us. Davoda zu hi b'chol yom b'yom. We know that this avoda of doing Yetzias Mitzrayim is in a mitzvah for us to do every day, k'mo shekatzuv, and the primary proof text is Leman Tisko es Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. Every day we have to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Haino she'inyan zichiras Yetzias Mitzrayim shezehu inyan Yetzias Mitzrayim b'avodas ha'adam yeshna b'avodas kol yom b'yom. So this is an idea that the idea of going out of Egypt is an idea that a person has to reflect on every single day. So it's explained in a mimer of the Rebbe Rashab, and this mimer is based on original mimer that the Rebbe Rashab gave in 1895. So the going out of Egypt is not just a personal avoda for humans to do from, again, going out of the constraints that we have from the other side, from things maybe that aren't so good. So here the Rebbe tells us that the going out of Egypt happens is a work that we have to do every single day, not just from the other side, but it's even a higher spiritual going out of Mitzrayim, even in holy things. So even if somebody is only dealing in the realm of holiness, they have what to do. A person can work on themselves and go out of their limitations. So lechayra inyan zeh darish bayo. So this concept that the Rebbe has stated here for us is something that he is going to explain further for us. D'mekeivan shezehu inyan shel kedusha. Eich efshar lo meshu inyan shel mitzrayim v'tzorach latzeis mimena. Since we are now talking about the realm of things that are holy, what limitations do we have to go out of in the realm of holiness? And this is kind of the primary Hasidus question of this maimo. And then the Rebbe will kind of continue to give us answers. He'll set up the framework and then give us an answer.
Right. So I feel like we're almost saying here, first of all, just this idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim in general, right? We know Hasidus talks a lot about Yetzias Mitzrayim on a spiritual level, right? But we usually think of Mitzrayim as being like our, you know, negative habits or our negative tendencies or things that like hold us back from being involved, doing the right thing or being involved in holiness. But here we're saying Mitzrayim could actually be a holy Mitzrayim, right? It could be like a spiritual Mitzrayim that's actually positive, right? It's actually something that's within our service of Hashem. And what's sort of the paradox that we're going to be discussing in the mimer in the next paragraph is like, This whatever this Mitzrayim is, on the one hand, it's within Kedusha, right? So it has to be good, it has to be positive. So we're going to see how whatever this Mitzrayim is something that's positive and something that helps propel us forward within our Avodat Hashem. And at the same time, it's still a Mitzrayim. Like, it's still a limitation that we need to get out of, right? It's a Mitzrayim, but it's also something that there needs to be a Mitzrayim. There needs to be something which we're leaving. So we're going to sort of discuss both. Both what it looks like, what is the Mitzrayim? What is this positive Mitzrayim, this holy Mitzrayim that is in a way necessary in our Avodah, but at the same time, it still limits us, right? It doesn't allow us to really reach our full potential.
That's it.
Yeah, and it
goes some ways. You know, one of the primary kind of concepts of Chabad Chassidus and something the Rebbe taught us day to day is that we always have to grow. And he was saying, even if somebody feels that they have achieved so much in their Yiddishkeit and they're in, you know, a mitzvahim of Kedusha, the Rebbe is still telling us there's higher levels to go to. It's almost endless how far we can try and
come. Right, you could be doing all the right things and you're still in mitzvahim.
That's it. And you still have to work and you still have to, and the hope is, the good thing is you can still achieve more. We never were alive in Yiddishkeit.
Right.
Okay, so let's see the kind of framework the Rebbe sets up. So for Yuvanzer, so this can be understood al pi hayidua through the framework that is known in Chassidus, Dam Shachas, Bizgalus, Hamidos, Hi Mevchinas Hamachin, that there's a drawing down and a revelation of Midos, which are emotions, our emotional faculties, from the levels of intellect, from Machin. Dezehu Inyan Mayach Shalit al Halev. And this is the idea that is encapsulated in the often quoted phrase of Mayach Shalit al Halev, that the brain rules over the heart. Sheha Mayach Mashpia al Halev. And the brain influences the heart. And what I love about this is it almost tells us the brain inspires the heart to feel the emotions.
Right. Like the word Shalit almost conjures up this image of control and imposing, right? The mind sees the truth from an objective point of view, and it's imposing its view on the heart. But the way he's translating the phrase as mayach mashpia al halev, right? It's influencing the heart. It's sort of engaging the heart and bringing the heart to a place that it can also appreciate what the mind appreciates.
And it's so much more kind of gentle than a translation of kind of ruling, because sometimes when we hear ruling, we think that's really kind of strong. And I think the Rebbe here is kind of setting up to say it's a mashpia zayin, we're influencing it, and that this is a process that can happen kind of over time, but ultimately you can get there, which is nice. So now the Rebbe sets up a question. So we gave us kind of this is the framework that the mind is above the heart. But we can say, if you know all the texts of Chassidus, you can say, you'll say, oh, but wait a second, in the Zohar we have the text that we read, Telashalitim Inun Mocha Liba Bachabda. So the Zohar sets us up with a statement that says there are three rulers of a body: the mocha, the brain, the liba, the heart, and the chabda, the liver. Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Halei Bein Gimel Shalitin Ela Atzman Hamayach Shalit Al Halev. So even between these three rulers that, yes, a person does have, the brain rules over the heart. So ki arosh lamayla min halev, because the head is above the heart. And we'll skip the brackets and go v'chein hamochin shebarosh hein lamayla mehamidah shebalev behem sholtin alehem. So that the intellect sits in the head, and this is physically higher than the midos, which sit in the heart, that is the head, rules over the midos. And the drawing down and the revelation of midos comes from the level of machin. And I guess we could probably stop for a second there to say, it's interesting here, he says the mind, the heart, and the liver. This was a new kind of sentence I hadn't had before. And we're lucky enough, there's great notes in the text that we learned, and he explains that the liver is an allusion to the reflex and the instincts, so the basic emotions. And the way I kind of thought about that is that we know that the body works by itself. The brain doesn't instruct the heart to beat every single second, but if it would stop, we would stop. So the liver controls kind of the basic functions of the body. The heart is the seat of the emotions, and the brain is the seat of the intellect. And the brain is the highest physically than all of them. So continuing.
Right. I think it's also interesting this model of the mind dominating the heart, you know, I think, we have to just acknowledge the fact that that's not necessarily the way we naturally function, right? Instinctively, yes. Right? Yes. Most, I feel like a lot of the emotions, or most of the emotions that we experience, are not coming from intellect. And sometimes we feel like they are, right? It's like,
absolutely.
Because you'll spend a lot of time rationalizing the emotions that have emerged, you know, instinctively, and convince yourself that that's the justifications you've come up with are what's the reason for what you're feeling. But it's really the other way around, right? Very often our emotions are just coming instinctively, and you know, we're using our mind to justify that.
And this mantra really talks to that process. So the Webber here really talks to that. I mean, in the coming kind of paragraphs, because, you know, the first emotions that we sometimes have about things, sometimes they're just kind of, oh, I see cake, I want to eat cake. But if we allow the brain to, we take a pause moment and we go, do I really want to eat cake? And we allow the brain to give us an answer to that question. And we say, actually, I already had cake on Shabbos morning. Do I need to have cake on Shabbos afternoon? You know, do I need the sugar, all the things? And then the brain gives us an intellectual answer. And it's then that we can maybe pause and go, okay, maybe I'll eat a fruit, or maybe I don't need a cake. That's a really kind of practical thing, but it is kind of one of these big questions of life that people effectively behave out of their heart. And right. it almost tells us that when we feel like we're going to do that, we can just take a second, pause,
right.
Think.
Right. And I think the first point here is just training our, like realizing that, like training ourselves that to allow our mind to come first, right? Like take that pause from that instinctive, reactionary place of just the emotions emerging on their own, to like allow our mind to function first. But let's go inside, because I think the next part's going to be even more interesting.
Yeah, he starts to kind of get to the heart of it. So now he set up the question of the seichel and the midos, and now the Rebbe is going to explain to us how these are two opposite things and the characteristics of each. So v'hinei l'chayla inyan zeh dorish bayo. So seemingly this concept needs even more explanation. How is it possible that the influence and the creation of the midos comes from the mochin? Because we know that mochin, intellect, and midos are two opposite things. So now what is the mayach? The mochin heim b'mnucha davka. K'maymo sabada tohi sosim u'mochai sosim v'shachich. So here the Rebbe brings another quote from the Zohar. He says, "Mochin, the brain is menucha. It's rest. It's calm. It's peace." And he brings the saying to say, "The old sage's mind is sealed. His intelligence is quiet." And the explanation for this is, I mean, there are many. It's obviously the Zohar. But an older person can kind of contain all the many thoughts that are in their head, and they can kind of keep them just thinking. If you've ever kind of spoken to an older person or worked with an older person, you can see that the wisdom of their age often comes through. They have a clarity and an intellectual kind of clarity that comes with having many years of thinking. So mochin is calm and it's quiet and it's logical. Masha enkein hamidos heim barash gadol. This isn't the case for midos. Midos exist with a lot of noise. Hanikra b'loshin yiddish humul tumul. It's a lot of activity going on there. V'chein hu gam b'gashmius, also in the physical sense, also in our hearts. Dikli hamayach hu kal. Not in our physical heart. So the keli of the mayach is cold. The brain is cold. Masha en ken halev, shehu mishkan hamidos, yech bo dofek, defika deliba. So the heart is moving. It's alive. There's a heartbeat. It's a pulse. Our heart and the heartbeat is always moving. It goes and it comes, and we know the blood flows in our heart pumps, and blood flows. It goes in and it goes out, and the heart and the seat of the emotions always moving. The brain is calm. And this,
so you can almost feel this experientially. It's like when you're really upset about something, right? And like it's almost seems like impossible to like bring in that like calm clarity of like your mind, because the emotions are so raging.
And sometimes that can be a hint for us about what's really driving us. If there's a lot of movement going on, you know, there's obviously great intellectual stimulation, obviously, is you're in flow, you have a lot of ideas and they're coming, but there's a slight difference sometimes. Mm-hmm. When we're being drawn out of the heart, it's just pushing us this way and that way and this way and that way, and we have to know that's just pure midos and the seichel hasn't been able to be heard. So acha inyan hu, demasha ha seichel hu mako el hamidos, Haino rak bevchinas hamaisa shebaseichel, shehu tamtzis haskala. So that we consider the seichel to be the source of the midos. This is only on the level of maisa shebaseichel, the action of the mind. Shehu tamtzis haskala. This is when we've finished doing all the thinking and we have the conclusion of the idea. V'lachayn isavas hamidos min haseichel he dafka al yidei siluk kol o'o haskala. Kasher nishal etzloi rak habachayn v'hamaskana shebaseichel. So the midos are enabled to be inspired from the intellect only when the intellect has kind of come to the conclusion point of all its thinking and intellectual kind of debate. And when what remains is only the bechain, then and the conclusion of the mind, then the mind can influence the heart. And we're kind of moving. So we defined what, just to go back a step, we defined what the mayach is and what the heart is. And now the Rebbe is telling us the mind and the heart interact. When do they interact? The interaction point comes after the mind has finished doing all the thinking about the idea. And the Rebbe will say this in the language of the Maimer that's coming up.
And right. I think it's interesting that we first spoke about, you know, that the mind has to come first. But I feel like we either get stuck in either way. Either we get stuck in just being reactionary and just starting with midos, or when we start with seichel, we get stuck there. Right, like if you've ever had this experience where you're like trying to make a decision and you have lots of information, you like studied it from every angle and you've thought about it, but then you have to actually like decide like what do I actually feel, like what do I actually want, and it's so hard to do that. You just get stuck in like the intellectual dimension. I think what he's almost saying here is that like first you need to like spend all this time like engaging in the might, like the seichel, but then you need to let go. Like if you want the midos to actually emerge from the seichel, there needs to be this point, right? This point of like, okay, but what's the conclusion? Like sort of like let go of all that information, like put it aside and just like, just try to get like, what's the main point, right? What's the, like, what do I get from all this? And only when you're able to sort of like let go of the vastness of information, right? And just like get, like just kind of get the final simple point that comes out of it. That's the only way you can allow the midos to emerge from that.
And that's what I was saying in this paragraph. Exactly. You're saying it's only when the brain has finished thinking and you've got to the bechain, you're holding your conclusion and your outcome in your hands. I mean, in your mind. Then at that point, we're going to talk about how we transform through a limitation into the heart, this conclusion.
Right.
I say, so we continue the text. So, dekasher nimta ba'olam haseichel, when one is really only engaged in the olam haseichel, the world of intellect, umeyu etzlai ha'omek dechachma b'haloicheb debina b'ha'amkus dedas, lo yitochen shetiyeh mizeh his havas hamidos. So at the time when one is thinking through all the ideas and the Rebbe takes us through Chachma Bina Das, so you have the creative spark of the idea as we learn in Tanya, then we think about all the different details that we can think of, which is Bina, the expansionary nature of thinking and intellect. And then we plummet the depths of Das and we arrive at a conclusion. During that whole process, it's happening without any emotions. Lo yitochein shetiyeh mizeh hishavas hamidos. Then it is not possible to express midos at those points. We're intellectual thinking. Sometimes I think about it when we're in flow.
I think why that's the case is because this is just coming to me now, is that like seichel by definition is not about you, right? Seichel is just seeing something for what it is. And midos is all about like, what does this mean for me? So like if you're really engaged in seichel in a really sincere way, then there's no room for midos there. Like, where do I come into the picture? Like, I'm just, like you said, like where you're in flow, right? You're just like, you're fully engaged in this thing for what it is. So like, it's almost like yourself has no place at that point, right?
Well, your emotions about yourself kind of have no place.
Yeah.
Okay. So, v'davka kasher nishar etzlai rak habachayin. So specifically at the point when all that remains from the intellectual thinking is the b'chein, the outcome, at that point in time, the mayach is able to inspire the midos, to create, experience the midos. And this is the point of mayach shalit ahalei. Once we get to the b'chein, the mayach can inspire midos to emerge. Amnam, gam ha-b'chein she-b'seichel atzmai, adayin eino yachol ishapech imahus seichel l'mahus midos. But we're in a Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's got to be constraint. So at the time, at that point, the b'chein and the seichel by itself is not able to transform itself into an emotion simply. Ela al yidei memutza shehu meitzah ha-golein. Except through the framework or the interface of the meitzah ha-golein. The narrowness of the neck. And this is the limitation point. Shemeitzah zeh. That constraint causes a hefsek, a break, and a tzimtzum and a contraction of the intellectual idea until it transforms itself from a mahus seichel to a mahus midos, something that is essentially intellectual to something that it can be essentially emotional. And we remember this is answering the question that the Rebbe started this Chassidus pieces, which is, midos, seichel, and midos are opposites. How do they kind of influence each other? And here's the answer, because you need to go through the throat, the meitzah ha-golein, this contraction. And we'll just finish the paragraph. V'dava zeh nikar gam b'tziru ha-gashmi shel ha-golein. We also see this in the physical form of a human being of the throat. Da'af sheyesh bo orech rochev ba'omek. Even though, yes, it has a length, a depth, a breadth, mikol makom, nevertheless, halehu makom tzar be'erch lagabei harosh. Our neck is clearly a thinner place relative to our head.
Right. So it's almost like we're using our body as like a physical manifestation of this idea that the same way your head is larger, and then it, like, there's this narrow neck before we get to the heart. Our experience of truth within our mind, and the way we understand it and comprehend it and go through the process of seichel has to go through this narrow space that we have, that has to be condensed before it can touch the heart.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that is a limitation.
And right. Right. But at this point, before we get to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, now we're just explaining it as like, meaning as of now, we're saying, well, this is important. It's necessary. Like, the only way we're going to get to midos, the only way you're going to actually be able to allow your mind to influence your heart is if you have that Mitzrayim, right? You need that Mitzrayim. You need that throat, right? You need that condensation, that like sort of like not getting lost in the academic side of things, right? In order for you to allow it to actually touch you on a personal level.
And this is how we understand. So this is the Mitzrayim of Kedusha. Shehu meitzah ha-golein ha-oise esef shariyes ham-shacha samidos min ha-mochin gam b'kedusha. That it is through the narrowness of the neck that it is possible to draw down the midos from the mochin, even in Kedusha. Tekashem shebetziu ha-adam ha-tachtoin yesh meitzah ha-golein kachol gam ba-adam ha-elyon. And just like the Rebbe used the physical example that human beings have a neck, which is the narrow constraint, so too with Adam Elyon, which is a kind of allusion to Hashem. Shehare ha-Adam ha-tachton nikra Adam al-shem Adam al-Elyon, because we know that man down below is called Adam over Adam al-Elyon of Hashem. Obviously, the Rebbe is also using Hashem is not limited to any form of man. The Rebbe is using this example to help us understand it in our own kind of body. V'inyan zeh b'kedusha shehu ha-tzimtzum b'hefsek hu davar tov si'isa gutazach b'shvil gilui hisavas ha-midos. So this idea that of kedusha mitzrayim, that we need a tzimtzum and a hefsek, we need a contraction and a break, this is a good thing. It's a good thing, a gutazach, a good thing. That we have to take a break between what goes on in our mind in order to reveal it into our heart. It's not a problem to take a pause moment. Okay, so Ba'ad she'al yidoi davka ba'achal kach ha'maisa b'pol. Because it is specifically through this way that the Rebbe calls a good way that we are able to action maisa b'pol, maisa in actuality. And I think that this way is the way that that humans generally are able to create kind of long-lasting, continuous kind of change or action in our lives. When we understand something properly, then our hearts can kind of go the distance in feeling it and stay doing the thing that we're trying to do.
Right. And I think also what's interesting about this idea of this Mitzrayim of Kedusha, right, this Mitzar Hagarin, is, you know, when we talk about Ma'ach Shal Ta'alev, we're almost, sometimes when we don't take this into account, we forget how difficult it is, you know, like I feel like there's, besides the difficulty of being able to like use our mind to approach something, right? Like approaching with our mind as opposed to our hearts. Like the danger of just getting stuck in our mind, right? Like it's that narrow space of the neck is like, narrow means that you can get stuck, right? It's easy to like not actually pass through and get to the heart. It's difficult to get to the heart because we have such a hard time being able to really engage in something from an objective point of view with our seichel, but then be able to like do the more important step, which is not letting it stay there, right? Like allowing that to actually affect us. And this Mitzrayim is almost like the Mitzrayim is necessary, right? We need to go through that narrow space because that's the only way we're going to get to the Midas. But that's a challenge, right? That's like, it's a process to go through that, right? To like, it's almost like first you need to like fully engage your seichel completely, like really understand something, really throw yourself into it, like put yourself aside completely and just try to study it for what it is. But then you need to be able to say, okay, let me just let go of everything I know. And think like, what does this actually mean? Like, what is this? Like, what's like, I feel like the Uwechein is almost like, what's the conclusion I get from this? Like, what does this actually mean? And then that can then impact, how do I feel? I feel like I relate to this so much with like just making big decisions, you know, like, yes. Like when you have to make a really big decision and someone asks you, okay, but like, what does your gut tell you? Like, what do you feel? Like, what do you want? And I've definitely had this where like, it's just so hard to make that decision because like you have so much information and you could be like thinking about it. But you just get lost in all the details, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not able to just like condense it into like, okay, but what's the point? Like, what does all this mean to me? Right. There's just too much information.
Well, you need to go from expansionary down to the point. You have to go through from the debate of the Gemara to Pesachin of Halacha. We have to land on a zone, land on an answer. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I was reading a couple of weeks ago. Actually, my dad gave me a paper that talks about Das to as we were thinking about this Mamo, and it says in that paper that Das and Amalek are related to each other because Das is the point where you can have an action and Amalek comes in at that point and tries to kind of cut you off at the neck and just confuse you and you know, make it really hard to get to that ultimate kind of
like keep you trapped in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of keeps you there. And we know to get to a real kind of integrated place where we can know things and then kind of influence how we feel about things, you need to be able to go through the narrowness of the neck. If we get stuck on top, you can't make the decision and you can't do it to its kind of best and full way.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I think that's sort of this first part of the mimer, but then I think the next part's going to be even more like earth-shattering.
This is the state. So we've just done in Mitzrayim, and this is the state. This Yitzias Mitzrayim is the state that I'd love to be in all the time, or maybe like even just once in my life. Where
I mean, this part it's deep, and I think it's I think we both sort of like we're struggling. Like, what does this really mean? But let's dive in and
let's do it. Okay, so Behinei Al Pi Hanal Yuvan Inyan Yitzias Mitzrayim Dikdusha. So according to what we said before, so these last three paragraphs we spoke about, this is the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim Dikdusha. the brain, the Metta Hagolein, and then influencing emotions. Dikei Vanche Mitzrayim Shul Metta Hagolein in Yono Hu HaTzimtzum Vafrada Sheben HaMochen Lemidos. That since there's a limitation, this is the Metta Hagolein, it makes a Tzimtzum and a break between the Mayach and the Midos. Muvan She'inyan Yetzias Mitzrayim U'Bitul HaMotzorim in Yono Shigam B'Midos Yo'il Ol HaMochen K'mo Shehu B'Mkomai. So the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim Dikdusha, the bittul of the constraints, is when the midos, when the midos kind of light up the all of the mochin like they are in its own place. And this is done through mochin de gadlus. What's mochin de gadlus? Pnimiyas hamochin, the inner level of the mochin. She'al yidei zeh meil ol hamochin k'mo shehu b'mkomai b'midos. Through the mochin de gadlus light, we're able to light up the light of the mochin with midos like they exist in their own space. So this section is kind of, this is mind blowing, right? Because I guess to me, this is when the heart and the mind can feel all the richness of each other without an interface between them, without a limitation, without a constraint. Can feel you can, the mind and the heart are aligned, and they can just come to a conclusion, do the action with the full kavana, the full emotions that need to be associated with it. That's mochin de gadlus. And this was also the piece where we remove the need for the form around the idea of godliness.
Right. I think this is what I found really fascinating. It's like mochin de gadlus is almost like, meaning we're so used to coming, like, because we live in a physical limited world, we have to encounter things from a certain angle, right? So sometimes we'll encounter truth, or you'll encounter alikus through your mind, right? So you'll understand an idea on an intellectual level, right, in an academic way. But truth or alikus is not intellectual. No, right, like intellect is just a tool that we use to process it, but emotions is just as good of a tool to use to process alikus. I think this is true of a lot of things in life, that there's things that we process in different ways, but it's not the specific tool we use to process it isn't what makes it what it is. Right, it's not intellectual, it's not emotional, it's beyond all those things. Those are just different tools that we use to experience it. And the only reason why, I think it's almost like saying that, like what we were saying in the previous paragraph, that, you know, the heart and the mind are so opposite from each other. The way that they take information in is so opposite, right? But if we're able to strip away the specific form that we're processing, the specific tool we're using to process them, we're able to just reach the thing itself, right? Like, what is this idea that I'm processing through my brain, what is the idea for itself in its purest form, not as some academic intellectual idea, right? If we're able to reach that, right, like that purest form of it, then the mind and the heart are not opposites anymore, right? They're both just different ways of coming at the same thing, two different ways of experiencing the same thing.
Rabbi Paul Thiel put this really well in his class. He says there's you have an idea, and one person expresses that one idea through art, and the other person expresses that same idea through music. He says sometimes the art and the music that are trying to express the same idea are so different that they don't even live in the same house. You need two separate museums. You need the museum of music of the idea and museum of art of the idea. But it's the same idea. It's exactly the same idea. So as you're saying, you can use the tool of the brain or the tool of the heart, but the idea is the same. And if we could pull off the form, we could just experience the idea in this kind of great way.
Yeah, I think another powerful takeaway from this, like for me, is we often like worship our mind, and we feel like our mind is the be all and end all. And the previous paragraph, we were kind of saying that, like, the mind is like the ultimate, you know, dictator of us as human beings, but at the same time, the mind is just a tool.
We're intellectual, we learn. We are the people of the book.
Yeah, like exactly. Even on a kedusha level, right? Our mind is that's where it all starts. But at the same time, the mind is just a tool. Like, the mind is a tool we use to access something that's infinite and and like beyond intellect. It's not actually intellectual. And even though we're coming at it first with the mind, and it has to come first through the mind in order to influence the heart, but the mind, at the end of the day, the mind is just a tool. It's just one interface. It's just one tool that we're using to access something much deeper. I think that's like a really powerful thing to think about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting that you're talking about the mind is the tool and the heart is the tool, because we access, you know, think about doing mitzvahs, right? We access doing mitzvahs from the mind. We learn about them. We understand them. We do them. We do the das. We do them. But there's a really important component of the emotional avoda that we have to do when we do mitzvahs. Again, it's just a tool we use to connect to Hashem, which the Rebbe kind of continues exactly in this idea. So v'yeso al kain. So even more than this, the state of Mochen Tegadlus, Shebuchinas Mochen Tegadlus, Megalim Gam Es Hamitz Punoi Shebaminos Ba'ad Shorish Hamidos Shelamayla Gam Shorish Hamochen. So the Mochen Tegadlus is able to reveal the secrets of the Minos to the point that the source of the Minos are higher than the source of the Mochen, which is a fact the Rebbe is telling us. And Kamavua B'Makamacha, like explained in many places, Shemitam Zeh, the reason we know this is B'chinas Yechida Shebenefesh Shura Dafka B'Lei B'Lei B'Mayach, that the level of Yechida of the Nefesh, so the highest level of the soul, has its source and it lives specifically in the heart and not in the brain. So interesting, we're saying, let's finish the sentence, Mishum Sheshorish Hamidos Hu L'Mayla Mishorish Hamachen, and from this we understand that the Shorish Hamidos is higher than the Shorish Hamochen. It's interesting, as you're saying, that we think about the mind as always being greater, and then the Rebbe here is saying, well, actually, the Midos have a source that is even higher than the source of the Moyach. And we know always that the higher something is, the lower it can fall, and, you know, sometimes our emotions can really confuse us, and they can kind of lead us down to places that we don't necessarily want to go. And this is where we have to know when to use the mind, when to use the heart to get to a really good outcome and make, you know, he was talking about making decisions before, to make a good decision.
Right. I think it's also interesting that on the one hand, you need to start with the mind. Like Meichen has to come first, right? Meil Shalat Alev, it needs to be dominant. But yet when we are successful in having the mind generate the midas, the midas are actually what take you much further, or like access something much deeper than that mind, right? So it starts with the mind being dominant, but then once we go through that process, the midas almost like are able to access this infinite energy.
It's almost like the 1+1=3, in the sense like there's a synergy. There's, you can get further when the mind and the heart are operating kind of together in this way.
Right, right, in the right way, right.
Integrated, and you can achieve so much more. So now, okay, so shall we continue the text?
Yes.
Okay, so v'zehu inyan yitzias Mitzrayim, and this is the idea, in essence, of the spiritual going out of Egypt. Hayitzia mibuchen azur shebemidas hanimsheches al yidei meitzah hagoron ad shema'ira behen ha'oras hamochin kefi shamochin heim b'mkoimam. So here he kind of summarizes. He says, this is the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim Kedusha, the going out from the level where the Midos are influenced via the Meitzah HaGolon, the narrowness of the throat, until we, and the level of Yetzias Mitzrayim is when we can light up the Mochin with the Midos as if they are in their own place, as if they're existing in their heart, to the point of, you can enliven the Mayach and the Midos to such a strong degree that you can even access, or that in its ultimate form, we can get to the depths of the level of that the source of the Midos is even higher than the source of the Mayach, which is obviously a very, very deep level. The Rebbe tells us this is Yechida Shebenefesh. So, you know, close, very close to Hashem.
Right.
So I think this is... I really like this maimah, this chassidus. It kind of sets up this framework of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then going, you know, living in Egypt spiritually, and then the going out of Egypt spiritually. And how does this look for us in our thinking and feeling on an everyday basis? And what are we working on? We're working on getting to this point of Mochen Tegadlus, where like the mind and the heart kind of move move together and they can experience the fullness of each other without being two opposites.
Right. And I think, you know, when we were talking about this, we were discussing the challenge. When you learn a mimer like this, and it talks about things like Meichen the Godless, right? And on the one hand, you want to find a way to resonate, right? And like, what does this actually mean? But at the same time, you want to stay true to the mimer. Like, you know, we don't want to like turn Meichen the Godless into some, you know, feature of our experience that's not actually what Meichen the Godless is, right? So I feel like that's always a challenge of like, on the one hand, trying to relate to what an idea in Chassidus is saying, and at the same time staying true to what it really is. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly right. We were talking before how, you know, it's just, you know, we read and we translate the words and we try and find ways to apply them to our lives, but these are really they're holy levels, and they're very high levels in Chassidus and in understanding godliness. But since the Rebbe tells us that there's an avoda every day for us, it's really on each of us to think about where are the parts of our lives that we can try and bring the heart and the mind kind of together, maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's through, you know, we have to know that there's an order. First you have to be in Yetzias Mitzrayim to get to, first you have to be in Mitzrayim to get to
Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So we have to start in the brain, think about the idea, allow ourselves to come to the conclusion, and then know that sometimes it takes time to kind of allow that to influence the middos. And then, you know, at certain times in our lives, we're really lucky that Hashem kind of shines, reveals a level of our soul to us that we don't get access to every day, where we can experience even a little ray of this idea of Meichen de Gadlos, where the heart and the mind kind of move in the same way. I mean, maybe that's on a Yom Tov or a time when, you know, there's more spiritual energy in the world. You can kind of feel an emotion tied into, you know, something that the mind understands, or with a lot of preparation or meditation.
Right. It's almost like this, like that moment when your emotions are able to access like the truth for what it is in the fullest way. Like the way you feel on a personal level is aligned with like this ultimate truth, right? That usually only your mind can experience.
And obviously, look, that's not Meichen de Gadlos, right? I don't think any of us at any point really experiences the depths of this level that the Rebbe is talking about. But that's a little way that sometimes in our life we can go out of our own personal limitations.
Right. Experiencing a Yetzias Mitzrayim.
That's it. I'd like to do that every day if I could.
Right. Well, that's the mitzvah, right?
So I guess this is kind of to answer the Rebbe's original questions. This is how, you know, the Jewish people went out in the Etzem of the Yom Hazeh, which is the greatest part of the dark and the greatest part of the night, the middle of the day and the middle of the night, i.e. the strongest level of emotions and the strongest levels of middos. And the Rebbe's explained to us here that at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, they can kind of both come together and kind of be experienced in their fullness, one to the other.
Nice.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, Hadassah. This was such a great opportunity to learn a little bit more in kind of great depth, really.
Yeah, thank you. I loved learning this mimer. It was really incredible.